Tonight's teaching is pretty much on a subject that I've really been thinking of because I know that a lot of people are angry, because, just the hard balls, just the footballs that life has thrown at them, and it hurts after a while. It hurts when you don't have the strength to catch a ball anymore, and you keep getting hit in the chest and in the head, and you have bruises and wounds, and those wounds turn into anger. And I have to admit that I've been really, really angry lately at just things going on, in my life and in my ministry life. And Satan is so clever. I mean, he is a master at advertising things in such a way to get you ensnared. But it's not you. It's always the people around you, or people you're serving with, or people in leadership, or people that you work with. They get ensnared, and they go after these false promises that Satan throws out there, and it just wastes time, and it saps all of the strength from you. So that leads the person into falling into anger. And there's a lot of people that I know that are angry. And I am one of them. So I have been really angry this week, and I have been wanting to teach on repentance and hope. The story of King David's life is full of highs and lows. He was a man of powerful faith and facing Goliath. I mean, we all know the story. It's written in several different accounts of it, not just in the Bible. But he also faced other enemies of God. His beautiful and sincere songs of praise for God are recorded in the Psalms. And you can open up any of the Psalms and you can actually read all of these songs that he wrote. He's also known for the adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, Uriah. And those are also recorded in the Bible for all to see. Yet somehow, even in his terrible sins, they're really eclipsed by his wholehearted devotion to God. His deep repentance of his sins was part of the reason God could say David was a man after his own heart. And, it's this repentance of sins. It's just starting over, getting back on the right path, picking yourself up, starting to get back in the Word in the evening, starting to get back in the Word, in the morning when you get up. Starting to walk the walk and not just talk the talk, but I mean walk the walk as a Christian when you are alone and away from other Christians. That's the real testing ground for me. When you are the only Christian in the room, that's when your light shines. When your friends or your other Christian friends aren't around you to watch you, it's how you act when you're alone that really dictates, how powerful you are. Are you really, really doing the deed? Are you really, really making it happen? And it all starts with repentance. And nothing moves me more than Psalms 51. It's so amazing. And it must be so nice to be able to write a song and hand it to the worship leader and have them perform it. That must be amazing. In Acts 13, verse 22. God said that David was a man after his own heart because he repented. He was always repenting. And we need to get in the habit of repenting, and we really need to get in the habit of hope. And in Psalms 51, it's amazing, and I'm going to read it to you guys. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. I love that passage there when he says, For I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is always before me. I always try to be honest with God. He knows everything I'm doing wrong anyway. So I'm always continually repenting for stuff that I've done wrong. And usually it's the same stuff over and over and over again. It's pride. The way you drive. You know, you've had a bad day and you're being rude to people. You know, there's a multitude of things, and each one of us in this room has our weaknesses. Mine is patience and love, and I need to work on these things. But he acknowledged his transgressions. And David said, his sin is always before him. Against you, only you I have sinned, and I have done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. That is a very powerful verse that you hear often, you know. It is so amazing. I mean, I could just read that over and over and over again. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Because that's exactly what I need right now, a clean heart. Many of us are ripped up by people that have hurt us and abused us and have used us and have lied about us and have gossiped about us. And not only that, but they stand in the way of our blessings and our monetary gain maybe. And it just makes it so frustrating to have to bide your mouth, bide your tongue, try to do the right thing, try to go to church, try to get to know Jesus, try to improve your relationship with God. And, you know, you're just so upset and angered that you need a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the guilt of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. I mean, I am telling you, that is amazing. He's basically saying, you are God. Break me down to the lowest common denominator. I have sinned. I have done wrong. Put in me a new heart. Help me with my sins. Help me with my transgressions so that I can go, and I promise that I'll bring people to you. I have said similar things to God so many times. Get me through this. Save me through that. But let's talk about repentance. I mean, what is repentance? What do you think repentance is, Missa?
I think it's confessing your sins to God and asking for forgiveness.
What do you think, baby girl?
Now, what was the question?
What is repentance to you?
Repentance is asking for forgiveness and then not doing that sin again.
What do you think?
A wholehearted asking for forgiveness for your sin. Not just saying, oh, just forgive me. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah.
But like what David did, he would wear the sackcloth and walk around and was, you know, almost wailing, you know, like for things that he did.
Amen. Paul's powerful description of these seven elements of godly repentance. When God calls us into a relationship with him, there are obstacles that stand in the way of our having a good relationship with the perfect, holy, creator God. And one of those obstacles is our sins. How can we be righteous in front of God? How can God use us to do stuff? How can we serve God better? How can we do things for God? I wish and long so much to be used by God. It's just like a strange burning sensation that's like just crept over my life the last 2 years. But every time I think of it, I always think about all the sins that I do. And Paul's right. You know, it's the sin that gets in the way. You know, the Bible shows that repentance is a step in the process of removing that obstacle. So, what is our spiritual, what is our natural human worldly state? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah, this is an amazing scripture.
17:9.
Got it. Go ahead.
The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?
Amen. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 7 through 8.
Answer.
Romans chapter 8, verses 7 through 8.
Okay.
The mind is governed by the flesh. It's hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
Wait, how did that start?
The mind is governed by the flesh. The mind governed by the flesh is death. I'm sorry, I misread that.
To me, I think that my biggest problem, like this one, is more my heart, not my mind. Because my mind, I can tell myself it's wrong or I shouldn't do that. But like if I feel like in my heart that like I really want to do something is when I will then try and like justify doing it.
But I think it's kind of like the mind is like our way. We know best, you know. I'm going to do it my way, God, not yours.
The Bible shows that our natural heart and mind are not in harmony with God in His way. In fact, Satan even said, Satan the devil has deceived us and made us enemies of God by influencing us to sin and rebel against God. That's what he does. He just sits there and tries to get us to rebel against God. How does the Bible, though, what does the Bible say about sin? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4.
How can a man be born when he is old? Is
that right? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And the next one will be Romans chapter 6, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is such an amazing scripture. Luke said too, I'll tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The Greek word for repent, it carries a sense of reversal or to change direction. Repentance is a complete about-face disobedience toward God to obedience, love, and submission to Him. It's got to be a 100% turnaround. I am so sick of this game of repenting for things and then the very next day doing them again. I'm just like so tired of that. That is not a full repentance. I really need to repent 100% for being prideful. I need to repent 100% for being, all these things that I do. Missa?
Oh, nothing.
Okay. Romans or Acts 3. Who's got Acts 3:19?
Got it.
Okay.
Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
So that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It is so nice to get something off of your chest. Something that you've been carrying around for a long time and, you know, something that you feel like you need to tell somebody. And it is so nice when you repent to God and have that time of refreshing with Him. Sin made us enemies of God, you know? But Christ's sacrifice can pay our death penalty for us if we repent and accept His sacrifice. Nothing we can do, no penance, could ever earn us forgiveness. But our unselfish God is willing, I'm not kidding, to give us forgiveness even if we just show seriousness that we're repenting in His direction. Just show seriousness that you're trying to commit to change. I have been mentally lazy about committing to change. Every day I repent for the same thing. Every day. Coarse joking, for example. In a sales office, it's so difficult to get away from that.
If you keep repenting everybody, for the same thing, is that true repentance?
No. True repentance is an about-face, 100% change. Being obedient to God, submitting to His love.
So rather than repenting, is it better to just ask Him to change you?
Yeah, ask Him to change you. Like, that's what I'm doing now. I'm asking God to change me because, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, these aren't like going out and doing drugs. Going out and committing adultery. These are like going out and, you know, being prideful or things of that nature, you know? So send your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. That was Joel chapter 2, 12 and 13. Another great scripture. So let's go to a scripture that's really, really important. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, chapter 24 through 26. This is an amazing scripture.
Got it. You mean verse 24?
Matthew 16. Chapter 16, yes, verse 24,
then
25,
Jesus
and 26.
Says
go ahead.
Disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?
That is so powerful. That passage and the one before demonstrate, you know, several aspects of repentance. Job realized his own need for repentance by seeing how awesome the Creator God is and how insignificant he was. Even Joel stresses that, you know, repentance is not just an outward show. And that's what I think a lot of people do. I think they show repentance. I think they say the words, but they don't repent. And I need to really repent. I need to really dig down deep and repent, you know, for things. It must be of the heart and bring a real change of attitude, though. And as Jesus said, we must be willing to give up our lives in unconditional surrender. That is really hard to do. That is really, really hard to do. There's a very famous scripture, Matthew 19. I'm going to read it. This gives you the mindset of the human being today. Even though this was 2,000 years ago, Here's the same mindset. Now behold, someone came to Jesus. Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And the guy pestered him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he went on to say that he did all those things. And then Jesus went on to say, well, then give up everything you own and come follow. Give the money to the poor and come follow me. And the guy rode off into the sunset because he had a lot of possessions. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Since God's law is good, and breaking God's law was the cause of Jesus Christ's death, God wants us to learn to hate sin and to strive to obey God's law with his help. This is part of the path that leads to eternal life. I am slowly beginning to morph into someone that really cares about what is going to happen to me after I'm gone. I really want to see the New Jerusalem coming down. I really want to see everybody living in heaven on earth. I really want to see that. I really want to be there for that. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11. We're going to talk about real sorrow, and we're going to talk about true repentance. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this manner. That is true repentance. But the sorrow of the world seems to be a temporary remorseful feeling without any change in how you live. Godly sorrow, though, involves a real and lasting change. Carefully think about Paul's description, man. Even these seven elements of godly repentance, they demonstrate, honestly, a deep understanding of why God abhors sin and provides you a fervent commitment to change. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what I notice? You know what I really notice? And I'm not kidding you. The more you truly repent, the more you prostrate yourself before God, the more that you just honestly, truly try to repent, the more the cloud of the Holy Spirit starts to wrap around you. And it's like you are all of a sudden in this supernatural mist of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you through this. But you've got to do it. It's really hard, I know. I don't want to repent of half of the stuff. My flesh cries out to do bad things. You know, me and Brendan often speak of the ways we can make money online completely dishonest. And we never did, you know? we always avoided that whole scummy little industry. But there's so many things that come into your mind each day, you know, when you're out there in the world shopping and picking up the kids and going to work and trying to make a buck. There's so many dishonest things that Satan throws in front of your path. Such an obstacle course now to really be on fire for Christ, to really be a good Christian and run this obstacle course is not easy. But the true way to do it, I mean the real righteous way to do it, is to make sure that we repent of all of our sins and that we usher in the Holy Spirit and rely on the Holy Spirit as a guide. Do you guys understand? Because it's really quiet here. You can hear a pin drop. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Did you guys understand?
Mm-hmm.
Was it an okay teaching?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's... Melissa, can you pray for repentance? That we all repent, you know? Can you pray for that? Thank you so much.
Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for our Bible study tonight. I thank you for everybody who made it here. Lord, I just pray that we all walk away with this message and are able to truly repent of our sins and to really change our ways and just know that the things that we're doing aren't right, and it's much greater. We'll see a greater reward in doing good things and pleasing you, and I just pray that you can change all of our hearts and to do what's right, and just to seek you first, Lord, and to move away from sin and just move greater, closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Did you guys understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Good. 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 Let's do. Prayer requests. Who wants to